Welcome to Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. I'm Jen Godet, your fearless host, entrepreneur, investor, and business strategist. Why are we here? Because iron sharpens iron. And when we bring industry leaders, disruptors, investors, and entrepreneurs to share what's working in business and even what's not, we're all able to learn and grow. As a result, our businesses grow, and the ripple effect impacts not only ourselves, our teams, and their families, but also our communities and our world. You're in for a treat. I've got a really special guest today because let's be honest, a lot of companies are talking about innovation and AI, but they're leading like it's still 2015. They've got new tools, old habits, confused teams, and a whole lot of noise around AI, hiring, and what the future of work is supposed to look like. So today, we're going to get into this. It hits every business leader right now, relevance. It's not just about whether employees are staying relevant, but it's also whether leaders are as well. Joining me to dive into this topic is Chris Flakes, CEO of CSI Companies and author of Stay Relevant, Conquer Workplace Change at Every Phase of Your Career. Chris has spent decades in the workforce solutions world and has had a front row seat to what makes people and companies adaptable, promotable, scalable, or obsolete. CSI Companies materials describe him as a long-term leader who has helped drive major growth at the company, and his new book is built around helping people stay valuable through this change. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jen. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start here, Chris. Everybody loves to say, the workplace is changing. That phrase feels like it's been beaten to death. So let's get a little bit more honest. Give me the blunt truth. What are CEOs still getting wrong about the future of work?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm glad we're going to talk about this because I think a lot of people think they have it all figured out. And then one day they wake up and they say, oh my gosh, what happened? I feel like the world passed us by. Yeah, I say there's a few things, but I think the biggest thing is that the way that we treat or look at employees historically is not the way that we should be looking at employees now. I think that's one of the biggest changes. And I think that as we kind of go through today, I hope we sort of talk about that even more, because I think what you're seeing is companies that are figuring out how to really relate to different aspects of the workforce, the different generations that are part of the workforce, companies that are figuring that out, keeping them challenged, are the ones that are continuing to grow and make great hires.
And it's really funny because I move in a lot of the tech space, and it tends to be a much younger demographic, fewer of those of us who are in the Xer or boomer generations. But the companies that have the best results and stabilities are those with a little bit more age on their side. And I think it's something to do with resilience or the fact that we've been through these changes before. But we'll dive into that more in just a moment. Can you tell me what in your mind or in your experience has changed the most in the last couple of years that leaders are still underestimating or completely missing?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I think it's really around what are their employees thinking about the organization? As I look back over my career, and you know, I'm one of those people that can look back and say, I've been doing something for 35 years or more, right? Which is amazing to think about. But I think so many employers are like, well, we have a great culture, we have a great company. And you know, over the course of time, people will have all these opportunities here. And I think what we're finding out is most people don't stick around anymore. And I think companies that figure that out sooner are the ones that do a whole lot better. But the reality is, you know, people could say, well, yeah, the culture is great there. And yeah, they did make a whole lot of promises. But the reality is, I want something to happen quickly. I want to see the changes that in my career and the opportunities quickly. And I think some organizations haven't quite figured that out. You mentioned older, you know, some of the older workers or people that have a little bit more experience being a little bit more resilient. Absolutely. You know, a lot of us can look back at Y2K that went through that, right? Or we went through the downturn in 2008. And you can say, you know, there was all of these disruptions or all of these things going on, but the reality was we got through them. And some of the younger workers haven't been through some of those things. And so when they hear things like AI and they see some of these changes, they want to do something right now. And they're really not willing to be patient, even though companies are typically run by people that have been doing something a little bit longer, and they expect more of that patience from their employees. And the new generations just don't really have that.
About technology, since you mentioned AI, and of course it's the big buzzword. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's looking at it, putting it into their companies. And quantum's down, you know, right around the corner for us as well. Do you think the bigger risk is technology moving too fast, or leadership evolving too slowly as we go through this change?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I think part of it is leaders typically have some success behind them, right? So they've been doing what they've been doing for a while. And so they kind of look back and they say, well, you know, what I did before worked. I got through this situation. I got through that situation before. And I think people waiting now, waiting too long to sort of stay ahead of the game, when the change, you know, when changes happen, it hits them a whole lot harder and a whole lot quicker. So I think it is a combination. It's that, but it's also workers. Like workers right now, you know, I don't think anything has changed with the reality that most people think about themselves the most, right? And they're not necessarily looking at a company as, you know, I need to be extremely loyal or I'll give them my entire career. So, you know, there is a certain amount of pressure on people to continue to keep their skills up. But the reality is companies really need to do a good job of communicating exactly their expectations and taking a really good look at what's happening out there in the world and then communicating back to their expectations of their employees. And I don't see that a whole lot. I don't see a lot of organizations making those types of changes from a leadership perspective.
You know, I would have to concur with you because, I mean, I've been doing AI strategy and assisting on the people side of implementation for the last several years. And what I find is a lot of companies throwing AI into the business because they want to be able to say they are in the AI era. But the difference between looking modern and actually being ready for that integration or that change is not the same thing. And even more to your topic of extreme expertise, like the relevance is not there necessarily in all of the companies that are just racing to be able to say, yes, I have AI in my company. Like there's no ROI. It's not really having a meaningful impact. Maybe it's costing more than what they anticipated, and they didn't really onboard their team in a way that makes sense. So I guess my question to you, with your lens of expertise in this area, what do leaders need to understand about relevance in this AI-shaped economy today? And how do we need to be articulating these changes in a transparent fashion that keeps our younger team members engaged and our older generation people comfortable enough that they're competent through the change?
Yeah, that's a great topic too. I think one of the things is a lot of companies do the same thing. And you know, you start talking about the integration of AI. So for example, in the industry that we're in, so many people do things very similarly, right? So then you have to look at what are those distinguishing factors? What are the differentiators? I think that's where relevance really comes in. Those companies that are spending a lot of time out there paying attention to changes and trying to anticipate and stay ahead of them, those are the ones that are the most relevant. And they turn around and they communicate that back and give a really good game plan to their employees, right? So I think that to me is AI is fantastic. What a great buzzword, but what great tools. We're already seeing a lot of those tools implemented. You and I have talked about that before on how many just amazing tools are out there and how many more, of course, that we're going to have over time. But so many organizations that are similar to the organization that you maybe work for or potentially somebody listening might lead, you know, there are a lot of very similar things out there, right? And so if everybody's kind of implementing similar things, what's the differentiator? The reality is the differentiator is your people. And you, the better job that you do of getting those people on board with your, you know, really what your vision is and where you're headed, it makes a huge difference. It keeps people engaged. And we keep talking about the younger generation because it's so real. It's just the reality. The younger generation expects change. You know, they're on the newest app all the time. You know, all the newest buzzwords, all the newest things that some of us take a little while to catch up to. They're way ahead usually of leadership. Right. So they need to know that the organization is out there paying attention to what's going on in the job market, anticipating changes, and then staying ahead of those changes. The hardest thing, though, is that communication back from leadership to employees. I think one really good companies do a great job of that. They communicate back to employees so that they stay excited, so that they stay engaged.
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head, and that communication feedback, that feedback loop is so incredibly important. So let me ask you, because you've talked a little bit about the communication, and listen, you've spent years evaluating talent and leading teams. To the leaders out there, maybe they're a little older or maybe not, like what's the outdated belief that you're seeing right now? It could be about team members, performance, metrics, experience. What is that one outdated belief about the company that leaders need to let die on the vine already that they just aren't?
Yeah, that's an interesting topic because I think one of the hardest things for leaders, even myself, and I think I've learned this, you know, we've had really, really great growth. And I've learned this almost reluctantly, right? And that's the loyalty piece. You know, I think we have this expectation as leaders, or as, you know, if you own the company, if you're an entrepreneur and you've got a great team of people, you just have this inherent belief that people will be really loyal. And it's not that they're necessarily not loyal. It's just that expecting people to stick around just to stick around, you know, that just isn't there anymore. We see so many people now, whether it's within our organization or within some of our clients' organizations, so many people, you know, they give it a little bit of time, and if things aren't moving quickly or they don't like the messaging, they are paying attention so carefully to the market that if they're not seeing what they want in the current organization, they are not afraid to make a change. And I think that's all kind of reflective of, you know, changes. Everybody's used to really fast changes and things happening in technology, but also the fact that we're in this gig economy where people are used to doing short stints. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times you just have this expectation in the past that, well, somebody will be loyal, they're going to stick around for 10 years, 20 years. It's just not the case anymore, right? People are going to give it a little bit of time. They're going to see if what you told them is actually true. And if it's not, if that new opportunity or that new challenge is presented to them, then they'll leave, right? And they'll go look for it elsewhere.
Yep. And I think, Chris, that's the gut punch. The market has changed. The tools are changing. The workforce has changed. And many leaders are still stuck trying to solve today's problems with yesterday's assumptions. This is where companies are slipping before they even realize they're in trouble. Your talent is going to jump if they don't see that you're on trend, happening, taking a future focused look. Listen, folks, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to dig into what actually makes a person relevant now and why smart, capable people still get passed over, ignored, or replaced. Stick around. Welcome back to Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. I'm Jen Godet, and we're here talking with Chris Flakus, CEO of CSI Companies and author of Stay Relevant. Listen, one of the things I appreciate a lot about Chris's frameworks is that he's not just talking about technical skills. He's really centered on three drivers: mindset, skill set, and mirror set, meaning how you think, what you do, and how others experience your value. Frankly, that last one is what gets most people into trouble, because a lot of people think they're high value just because they're busy, they're experienced, or they're loyal, but that's not really the same thing. If you're just joining us and you love what you're seeing, stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku and iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. Prefer pods? Me too! Catch that version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and more, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready when you are. Chris, let's break down the conversation about personal relevance. We left off before the break talking about what's changed, what leaders and CEOs really need to be looking at, how things have evolved. But now let's really dive into what makes someone look valuable on paper, but completely irrelevant in the room.
Yeah, I would say that's a really big topic right now. So I think, you know, from my perspective, there's two things. One, we do a lot of hiring, right? But we also do a lot of interviewing and presenting of candidates to our clients, you know? And I think historically, you know, from a guy like myself that started as a recruiter and has looked at hundreds, if not thousands, of resumes over time, right? I think, you know, one of the misnomers is you look at a resume and you go, oh, well, this person has, you know, these four or five key buzzwords. They've got all this great experience and it lines up directly with the job description that we put together. You know, they've got 5 years of this and 7 years of that. That is just not working anymore, right? Because I think what the biggest change is that historically, you know, you get paid or you get a job based on the things that you did in the past, right? I did this for 5 years at this company. I did this for 7 years there. That is really kind of the old way that people look at the world of work. You know, now it's completely changed, which is more, how can you help me solve a problem? And so, you know, candidates now really need to be focused on what value can I bring to that new company? So versus, you know, the old days where you'd be like getting paid for what you did before, like maybe a free agent in professional sports, this is very different. And that's why I think you see people that maybe don't have as much experience getting jobs over people that have maybe on paper more experience, right? That relevance factor is what can you bring to the company right now? What can you, this new organization that's about to bring you on, what problem can you solve? And I think candidates that go into it talking about the past, they just get passed over, right? And now it's all about what can you do for me now? What can you do for me going forward? People that have figured that out, that have done their research, that when they show up to talk to a client, or excuse me, a new company, right? When they show up to talk to them, they basically know exactly where their pain points are because they've done some research, and they talk about what they can do in the context of that pain point. And that's just a huge change in the job market.
You know, and I just want to sort of highlight this on internal teams as well. Like, if there's a job offering internally and you're applying for that promotion or whatnot, I've seen the same challenge. Oh, well, I've done this and this and this, without bridging the gap to why or what they're bringing to that new role. Like, if somebody's looking for, you know, a directorship or a vice president or some other role internally, I see the same challenges. I see smart and experienced people just not showing up from that, hey, listen, yes, I've done these things here, but what really makes me uniquely situated for this promotion or this other role is this is my perspective. And so what you're describing in the hiring pool is also happening internally in our companies. And so I guess the question that I have for you next is, tell me, what are these people, whether they're applicants to a new company or looking for a different role within their same company, what is it that you see people are tending to overestimate in themselves and it's actually shooting them in the foot?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because you talked about the three main premises of the book, which is that mindset, skill set, right, and mirror set. But you know, what you're talking about is that mirror set. And I think that's the part that almost everybody struggles with, whether you want to admit it or not, right? We all have this idea that we are viewed and our experience is viewed in a certain way. Like, we really believe that inherently about ourselves, right? We've done all these things. Everybody knows exactly what those things are. Everybody appreciates them the way that we appreciate them in ourselves. The hardest part of evaluating ourselves is that mirror set. Is what I've done really, is it as meaningful to the organization as it has been to me or in my career? And I think what happens is a lot of times we believe a certain thing about ourselves, and it could be true, but is that what we're actually portraying? Mirror set is such a difficult thing. You have to be able to take some really direct feedback from somebody in your life that can help you really align. Like this newer, you know, the organization that I'm in right now, they have this new role. I feel like I would be a great fit because I've done X, Y, and Z. But if you don't ask somebody else, a new kind of a neutral, trusting third party, how do you feel like my skills align with this role? Do you feel like I would be a good fit? And then just be quiet and let them answer and give you some feedback. I think that's what you're talking about, Jen. I think a lot of people just, they believe, well, I've got 10 years with this company, I'm the perfect fit. And then they don't get the role. And then somebody that maybe has 2 or 3 years of experience get the role, and it blindsides people. And people just can't understand that. I think that's one of the major changes in the workplace right now, is that longevity doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get that promotion, right? It's going to be the person that can help solve that problem. And so often it's not the person with the most tenure, right? It's the person that's done such a great job of talking about, this is how I can help you, Mr. Boss or Mrs. Boss, right? This is how I can help you solve this problem.
Yeah, I hear that. And you know, something that I see a lot is people believe that they're showing up as a strategic, adaptable, flexible, valuable individual in an organization. But as a leader myself, I see them as very reactive. They're not really coachable. They're kind of set in their ways. So in your experience, how often do you see that same thing in the applicant pool, for example? And what is it that we could initiate in ourselves that can help us to be a little bit more objective? Say we've gotten people to give us feedback, but they're really not. They're kind of telling us what we want to hear, because that happens a lot with these kind of individuals. Like, how can we determine if we're actually more reactive than we think, or we're harder to coach than what we think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I think, again, you have to have that neutral third party. Like, if I was to go ask my children or my good friend or my wife, you know, what do you think about my skills? And you're going to hear exactly what it is that you want to hear. What's really hard for most people is to have that person in your life. You know, I think more and more people now are getting executive coaches, or at least you hear that term a whole lot. And I think the part of that that's made that so effective for people is they get somebody that can get to know them well enough to see their skill set and that person that, you share with them a little bit about the company you work for, the job that you're trying to get, or the promotion you're trying to get. And you really help them understand whether or not you align as much as you think you do. And I think that really objective, neutral third party person that can be really honest with you, it's difficult to go out and ask somebody for that kind of help, but boy, is it necessary. And I think that more and more people now are realizing, gosh, I've gotten passed over now for the last, two or three things, or it's been 6 months and I haven't heard back, from organizations that I thought would scoop me up, for this new job. That's where I think you really have to get some feedback. People that are willing to do that whole relevance factor, they stay relevant so much longer, or they become relevant quicker because they really start to look at themselves more objectively. It's just so hard. Like, let's just be honest. None of us ever want bad news, right? None of us really like to have that constructive criticism, but my gosh, is it necessary,
Oh,
right?
and
And I
it's so.
think those people that have success, they're willing to get that constructive criticism.
That's right. And it's so valuable, even if it's a little bit of a gut punch or a punch in the face to us, to have that. So let me ask you, AI is reshaping the workplace very rapidly. Tools are rapidly evolving. What are the traits that make someone more relevant, more valuable, as everyone's workplace is now being reshaped, by technology?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about it a little bit in the book, but I think you and I both, as business leaders and as people that manage other people, you love to find those curious people. You love to find those people that ask more questions than they make statements. You love to find those people that are coachable. I think this is the crazy thing to me is, as long as the longer that you're in a career, the more you can fall back on all those past successes. And then you can look at those successes and say, well, I've got it all figured out. I'm good, right? And then all of a sudden you have a little bit of a speed bump in your career, or something happens and you go, well, what happened? Like, I've always had this great success. I think we forget sometimes that staying curious, asking questions, and then if we find out maybe there are better ways to do something, then being coachable, right? Then really being adaptable and coachable. You sort of hit on that a second ago, but the reality is, that's a very difficult thing, especially the longer you've been doing something. It's just a very difficult thing to exercise that, coachability, flexibility type of muscle because we haven't done it for a while. We've dug our heels in. We've become good at that we do. We've had success, like I said. Maybe you've made some good money in your career, and all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm ready to do something different, and you run into some, little obstacle. You really have to get back to the point of, it's me versus the market. It's me versus whoever else is applying for this position. That's just a hard, kind of switch to flip. A lot of people just have forgotten how to do that. So if you can do that, if you can be adaptable, if you can be coachable again, as easy as that sound is, as difficult as it is to actually do.
Absolutely. And that's such an important distinction. Folks, if you're listening, relevance is not about being the smartest person in the room. It's not about having the most experience. It's about being adaptable, useful, coachable, visible, and trusted when things shift. Curiosity was thrown out here, and I'm a huge believer in this. If you can get really curious about what you can do, how you can add value, how things can be done differently, better, faster, more effectively, more efficiently in your organization, that is going to make you more relevant. A lot of people are here waiting for the market to reward their history, but the reality is the market always rewards present value. We do have to take a brief break, but coming up next, we're going to flip this from the individual to the organization, because staying relevant is not just a personal problem, it's a company problem, and we're going to address it after these messages. Welcome back to Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. I'm Jen Godet here, and I am talking with Chris Flakes. We were talking before the break about what makes an individual relevant in the workforce today. Now let's shift that conversation to the bigger issue. Because if your company hires the wrong people, rewards the wrong behavior, promotes the wrong leaders, and clings to the wrong structure, your business can be just as irrelevant, even if you have talented people on the inside. Chris Flakes has built his career inside workforce strategy and staffing. His book is timely. It's about companies everywhere who are wrestling with how to stay competitive while the rules keep changing, because they do. And I want to just really dive in, Chris. You are a CEO who has had a front row seat to what makes talent valuable, promotable, replaceable. Let's tie that individual relevance to company relevance. And let's start with, what is it that makes a company relevant today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think, you know, the companies that are really staying ahead of the curve, that are continuing to add great talent, but more importantly, keep great talent, are the ones that do a great job communicating. And I maybe we talked about that a little bit before, Jen, but I think it's just such a difficult thing for people to understand. You know, you look at the different generations like Gen X or boomers or whatever we talked about, you know, you maybe had some sort of feedback once a year. If you were lucky, right, you'd have a meeting with your boss and you get some feedback once a year, or maybe you got it at the time of getting a raise, you got a little bit of feedback. And then you have this new generations that are coming in and they're expecting daily, weekly, monthly feedback. And companies are trying to figure out now, you know, how do we sort of balance those things? The companies that are relevant are figuring out their workforce quickly. They're realizing, so what do my employees need? And what you're going to see is different groups of employees need different things. And so it's not like you're going to change the entire organization around the newest person. That's not at all what works, right? But the reality is, companies that realize I have got to give feedback, I have got to get people on track. The reason is this newer generation and the most relevant companies, the people that work for them, they know exactly where the company's headed. And that makes such a huge difference. The better you communicate back to your employees, the more your teams know about the direction that you're headed, the more they feel like they're part of something, right? And people that feel like they're part of something and they're solving, you know, solving some problem or they're headed in a certain direction, they're so much more engaged and they feel like they're working for a company that's so much more relevant versus those other companies that they just expect everybody to show up every day, right? And just do the same old status quo. Those organizations are failing. They're becoming dinosaurs and you see them really struggling to keep talent.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. And, you know, it's funny because people bring me in when the companies are doing exactly that. They're in the wrong direction. They're having a hard time with that revolving door of employment. They can't seem to keep their people. And it's not that they're not paying competitive salaries and they're not, you know, it's not that they're not competitive in the marketplace. It really comes down to communication. And so can we dive into that a little bit deeper? Because I think that is a topic that we could probably spend an entire show on, quite frankly. But, you know, back in the day, I'm a Gen Xer. Back in the day, you didn't, like, there was a delineation between business and personal. You didn't talk about personal. There was no transparency. It was a different manner of working in the 80s, 90s, right? And then today, transparent and psychologically safe spaces are essential, because with innovation and with tech changes, we have to be okay with our teams learning and that, you know, set up to learn. And it's okay if you have a failure when, you know, 30 years ago, if you failed, you hit it because, you know, the axe was coming down. So we've really shifted over the last 30, 40 years in how we operate. How should those of us who are a little bit older and used to the old way of functioning, how do we bridge that communication gap and find what it is that our employees are needing? Like, what is the, give me one, two, or three tactics really quickly that someone who's thinking, oh yeah, you know what, I'm not very transparent, I'm only doing, oh gosh, you just said I have to do more than yearly reviews. Like, what are the first steps for somebody whose organization is reflecting that today?
Well, we talked about curiosity with employees, but it also goes the opposite direction, right? Employers that are curious about their workforce. You know, I see so many organizations that get stagnant because they just expect people to just show up, do their job, and then leave, right? And that's just not the way that it is. People are so much more engaged. And I think the big part of that is social media. Everybody knows everything about each other. And the organ, you know, I'm a Gen Xer too. And one of those things, like, you just never shared your personal life. That is just not the way the world of work is anymore. So I would say one of the biggest things is, you've got to take an interest in your employees, right? You've got to really understand what makes them tick. And I think, you know, for us that are maybe a little bit more uncomfortable with talking about some of that personal, it's just getting in there and getting to know people a little bit. I think managers that do a great job of, you know, having a happy hour or getting, you know, doing something outside of work with their teams to kind of get to know the teams away from work and get a good sense. Man, Jen, that goes so far, because I really do feel like this younger generation, they want to know that you care. They really want to know that you have a legit interest. And if they feel like you have an interest, they are just so much more dedicated.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now let me ask you another question, because I see this, and actually it's playing out in real time with AI and tokens and overusage, because we rewarded usage instead of outcomes in AI. And oh, we're hit with a big usage bill. But what are you seeing that companies are still rewarding that they really need to just stop rewarding in today's world?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the whole longevity piece. I just feel like, so many organizations were built on the people, every 5 years you get this promotion, or every 3 years you do this. That just doesn't work anymore. You absolutely have to reward people that are bringing success to your company. People that solve problems are your value, and those are the ones that ultimately become your leaders over the course of time. I just see so many really, really bright people coming out of school or coming, into a new organization, and they just make such an immediate impact, and then they're not rewarded, immediately with a with some, whether it's a bonus or whatever it is, because they're like, well, we can't reward that person because, XYZ person's been doing it 10 years longer. That doesn't work. So I would say that is the biggest thing that organizations need to get past. You have to reward the people that are making the difference, and that's how you build your organization now.
And we've really seen a lot of shift towards more performance-based bonus structures and pay as a incentive. At least I have. It's very prevalent in younger companies, especially. But let me ask you the next question, because something that I see in business consulting space is so many times the leadership is hiring for the role as it exists today, instead of hiring for the role of where the company is going, because companies are not stagnant. Like where I am today, I have goals of growth, or maybe I'm adding mergers and acquisitions, but I'm hiring a CFO who's never done M&A because I haven't done it before. And so they're hiring for today instead of where we're going and growing. Do you see that a lot? And if a company has been traditionally doing that, and they like, what are the symptoms of that? What do they see after that? When they're hiring for the business today instead of tomorrow, and then how do they fix it?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's just such a huge challenge right now. So I think from my perspective, we spend a lot of time with our clients trying to keep them from doing that, right? We really don't want them to hire for what they need today or what they needed a month ago or a year ago. We want them to anticipate those changes that are coming. Of course, it's very difficult to really know what is going on down the road. However, I think you have to find those people that are adaptable and that are staying plugged in. There are a lot of candidates that continue to be lifelong learners, right? I think in any interview process, or as you get to know a candidate through that process, you ask questions about how much are they working on themselves to stay relevant in the workplace. Those are the candidates that you're looking for, right? Like your example about the CFO that maybe hasn't done M&A, and you know that you're going to be doing that in the future. I mean, that's just a microcosm of what we're seeing out there. So many companies hire now like they hired 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and they pay for it, right? And I think it hurts both sides. It hurts the company, but it really hurts that candidate. You're putting the candidate into a role where they are not going to have the success that you need. And so that goes back, we were talking about communication. The better your communication is, whether it's an existing candidate, existing employee, or a new candidate, the better that communication is, the better the outcome, right? Because you have to have the right expectations. And if we don't have the right expectations on ourselves, right, on our own team to hire the right person, we certainly can't have the right expectations on that new person that we're bringing in. It really leads to a whole bunch of a mess. And so if you can get ahead of that and avoid that, that would be the best thing you could
Oh,
do.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. So now let's hit that AI piece directly, because everybody's living it right now. There's a tremendous amount of growing pains in a lot of companies around this. And questions like conversations that come up in my client conversations are, how should I be thinking about training and upskilling right now? Because the reality is, many companies are saying they want innovation, but they're not creating that environment where their teams can actually learn, experiment, and evolve without being punished for it. And so, how, in your mind, with your experience, should leaders be using AI to strengthen the business without accidentally hollowing out that human strength that still matters most?
Yeah, that's a great question too, because I think AI is absolutely, it's already here, right? And we know that it's not going to be less of what we do, it's going to be more of what we do. I think one of the, kind of shifting a little bit on the answer here, and I'll get back to you real quick, is so many CEOs or other people that I talk to, they think, oh gosh, well, we've sort of put our AI initiatives on hold for right now. We're going to wait and see what's going to happen. What they don't realize, and I see this all the time, people don't realize, leaders don't realize how much AI is being used in their company. You know, whether it's Grok or Claude or whatever, you know, whatever those are, they are absolutely being used by employees all day long to do all kinds of tasks. And so the reality is that is something that just has to be accepted, whether it's a company mandate or a specific program that we're putting in place or anything that's a true AI initiative, whether it's a company one or not, AI is happening within the organization. Because why? Because all individuals really are utilizing it in their personal lives. They're using it away from work. And so, of course, they're going to utilize it at work. I think organizations just need to understand changes are abundant. Changes are all around us. Things are changing every single day. You can't punish people for trying something different. And I do think that the companies that we really see growing right now, they're just encouraging people to come up with new ideas and innovative ways of doing things. Sometimes what happens, right? Sometimes you may not have the exact outcome you wanted. So you've got to have a little bit more patience, but the outcome that you do ultimately get is better, faster. And then the next time that same thing comes up again, you've already tackled it. You've already solved it. And we're seeing more organizations doing that, but they're giving their employees a lot of freedom to utilize all those skills, right? Like all of the tools that are out there that are going to help them accomplish a task.
I couldn't agree more. And so, like, really, in a nutshell, the companies that are relevant today are the ones that are innovative. They're encouraging innovation in the way they hire, in the culture, in what's getting rewarded, and what's not being paid attention to. It's the leaders who stop learning when they pretend to champion change that are suffering. When we come back, I want to get into your own leadership journey and scaling CSI companies, the hard lessons you've learned, the mistakes, and what you had to change in yourself so that you could continue to be relevant. We'll be right back. We are wrapping up with Chris Flakes, CEO of CSI Companies and author of Stay Relevant. Chris's background is part of what has made this conversation worth having. He started as a recruiter, moved through sales and leadership, and later became the president and then CEO of CSI Companies. It's a public company. You know, he's really had quite a career behind him that positions him to speak to this. And this matters because so many people read a book and theory is definitely not experienced. Real world operators earn the right to speak when they've actually led through the pressure. But if you're loving what you're watching, stay connected to Power CEOs and all of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere, on the Roku or iOS app. Preferred the podcast? Me too! Catch the pods on www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and more, we are streaming around the clock, ready when you are. Back to our conversation of the day. Chris, you have seen the business from so many angles, from recruiter and search leader, from a president angle, a CEO angle. Talk to me about what scaling CSI companies taught you that most founders and CEOs learn entirely too late.
Yeah, I think for me, each iteration of CSI, right, over the course of time has led to new challenges. And I think figuring out quickly that I didn't have all the answers all of the time. I think, you know, you get into, you grow, like you said, you know, you start as a recruiter, you get into sales, you do some of the things, you understand the backbone of the business, you understand the industry, but growing a company and leading people, that's a very different skill set. And so for me, I think just being willing to be coached, all right? I did hire an executive coach and worked with an executive coach when I first became CEO, and I could not state something more important than that, because I do think so many of us have blind spots and you don't know that you have it, right? And that's why you have to find somebody that can really help you through that journey. And I think being coachable comes back to the leaders as well. All of us need, you know, we all need to be coachable. We all realize that we can get better. And I think that, you know, if we have that tone at the top, then it certainly it emanates throughout the whole organization.
So let me ask you, was there a point when you realized that what got you to this level absolutely is not going to get you to the next level? And if so, what was that hard leadership lesson that changed how you operate?
Yeah, there was a couple. You know, our organization has, you know, CSI, we've been very fortunate. We've had great growth. And there have been times where we've taken on a, you know, a new client or we've implemented some sort of new technology out there, new offering that I maybe didn't know a whole lot about. You know, we hire such great people. A lot of organizations like ours, you have to hire thought leaders and you hire people that are a whole lot smarter than you are. And I think for me, it was that realization that, oh my gosh, I have to let them do their job. I think early on, a lot of leaders like myself, you want to be involved in everything. You know, you want to be involved in the back office. You want to still be involved with clients. You want to be working. And the reality is you just can't do that. You have to figure out where it is that you fit. And for me, I had to let my people that we've, you know, we hired great people, let them do their jobs. And that's such a good thing to do.
You're absolutely correct there. And listen, you've done a tremendous amount across your career. It's pretty stellar, actually. A lot of people can't claim some of the accolades that you have. But let's talk about the mistakes. Tell me what's the big miss that you had? What was the one bad assumption or that really painful lesson that helped shape how you lead today and who you are today?
Yeah, so I think I talked a little bit earlier about that loyalty piece, right? And I think I learned that the hard way. I think you feel like as a leader, you know, you communicate in a certain way and you've had some success. And so I just sort of assume that people would follow, right? And there are times where, you know, you make decisions as the direction of the organization, and you think people are just going to blindly follow. And then what I realized is that you just have to have a series of good decisions, right? People have to see that you've made good decisions before. So that they'll stick around when you make a new decision. For me, I just kind of always felt like, you know, we were all a team and that people would kind of blindly follow. The reality is that's not the case. You know, you really have to continue to stay involved, stay engaged, make good decisions, have some success, and then people will stick around as they see the organization growing and going in the right direction. It's not necessarily whether they love the leader. They have to believe in the vision of the leader and then and believe in that management team. And that was a tough one for me, right? That was tough. You just kind of assume that people are going to stick with you, and it's not always the case.
Yeah, and it's really hard too when your company has grown and the role that those people are in are no they're no longer the right fit either. I find that to be really hard personally. And so now I'm a coach at heart. I always like an actionable item for the CEO, the entrepreneur watching right now. Maybe they're leading through uncertainty, workforce shifts. They've got the pressures of AI. Maybe they're experiencing margin pressures as so many companies are. All of the things. What is the one move that viewer needs to make today? If they want their company and their leadership to remain relevant over the next 3 years.
Yeah, I would really get engaged with my employees. I would absolutely figure that piece out. That communication, we've talked about it a couple of times already, you and I, but I think that's just such a difficult thing. You know, it's TSI, we're fortunate to have done some M&A work. And I think some of that, you meet these organizations and you wonder, well, why are they stagnant at 30 million or 40 million or whatever the number is, right? Why do they get stagnant? And I think what ends up happening is a lot of times people just make too many assumptions, right? They just assume that they have the pulse of the organization or they have the pulse of what's going on out in the economy. You really have to do a job of that whole relevance piece. Help your employees be relevant, right? Help them be relevant. And then also make sure that your organization is relevant out there by staying ahead of the curve. And I think those are such hard things to do. Communication is up and down, right? It's top to bottom and it's bottom to top. You've got to have a culture where people feel like, you know, they understand what they're part of, but they're also being listened to, they're being engaged with, and that they have those opportunities because you're plugged in with them.
Chris, thank you so much for this. This has been a really powerful conversation because the reality is staying relevant is not about chasing trends. It's not just an employee problem. It's a CEO problem, a business model problem, a culture problem. And really what it is, it's about living the truth of your vision, your value, your mission, your purpose. It's about knowing your blind spots. It's about owning your leadership and whether a company is actually built for where the world is going. As opposed to where it used to be. The businesses that are going to win next, as we have talked for the past hour, will not be the ones with the most noise. They're going to be the ones with leaders who are still willing to learn. They're coachable, they're evolving, and they're leading on purpose using transparent communication. Chris, if the audience would like more information about you, about CSI companies, or about your book, Stay Relevant, where can they find you and connect with you?
Yeah, I encourage people to go to CSI Company's website, which is just csicompanies.com. Oh, great. There you go. And I think you can get to me that direction, but CSI first, right? So I would encourage people to check us out. And if anybody wants more information about the book or myself, you can get there through our website. I'm happy to engage with you.
Thank you so much for being here and joining us today. I think this has been a really timely conversation. It's relevant, to use your terminology, and I really appreciate your time, your expertise. And I want you to just leave us with, if we were a candidate watching, if we were somebody who's maybe applying or aspiring to C-suite, what is the one takeaway that we would need watching this show?
Yeah, I would just encourage you to be curious, right? Just really be curious about where things are going. Don't look at the past. Look at where you're headed. Look at the path that you're on, and really, really try and get ahead of that. Don't look backwards, right? Let's solve problems going forward. Help your organization know how engaged you are by helping the organization solve problems.
Thank you. And then for the founder or the investor who's investing in leadership, what is the one thing that they need to take away from today?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a couple of times, and that's that whole communication piece. Realize that your employees have different needs. And I think, you know, if you're willing to get in with them and really, really understand that relationship and help them be the best version of themselves, man, they'll be much better employees. They really will.
Thank you so much for your time, Chris. I appreciate your expertise. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jen. It was great. Thanks.
And you, yes, you, I'm talking to you. All things do come to an end, including the show. But the reality is if you do not take action, then all you've done is watched us for an hour be talking heads. The magic happens when we integrate, when we implement one thing that we heard today. So here's your challenge. You know it's coming. Take one thing that you heard today and implement it in your business. If you're a candidate, if you're looking for that next executive role, how are you going to elevate your relevance? What value can you add? Write it down, test it, get that third party observation for you so you have that real objective look at who you are and how you're showing up so you can land that role. But take action, because otherwise we're no different. And it's that action that creates the forward momentum that is going to grow ourselves as individuals, grow our businesses, and ultimately have that ripple impact that we want to have in our world. Thank you for joining us today on Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. We will be here same time, same station next week. Until then, win today, win this week, and I'll see you next time.